What an awesome God. Sister Val has been, last two Tuesday nights, has taught on the heart of worship. And last Tuesday night, she crushed all of us. And I told her later, I said, when I came here tonight, I didn't expect to come under conviction. But you got me. Amen. I want us to think today of where we're at and how amazing it is that God has brought us here and that we still have the opportunity to do this. Amen. Right now, truckers are entering Washington, D.C. right now at this time. And they're going to take a couple of laps around Washington, D.C. If the National Guard don't show up, scaring the taste out of Pelosi's mouth, I think, just because they showed up. Oh, no, the people of our country have come to Washington, D.C. What will we do? Sorry, that was just a little. How dare they? Anyway, we're going to pray that God, as they just simply represent the country, what they're doing is representing the country and saying we are tired of the oppression. And that's what they're saying. Amen. At one time, we had to fight a king across the Atlantic. Today, we're fighting kings in our own house. And so we're going to pray today before I bring the word. I just want us to pray that God would keep this from becoming a mess. Like January 6th, I was there January 6th. It was not what they said it was. It was staged. I've been saying that all along. It was staged. And we stood in amazement watching it. And I'm just praying that they don't try to do something like that here and they're trying to say these people are terrorists. And that means all of us are terrorists. Did you ever think that you would be called a terrorist because you simply believed in the Constitution? Man, I have got to get off that because I'm about I'm about to jump on my horse and start hollering the British are coming. I mean, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for these people that are just simply taking their time and volunteering to make a stand and say, we need change. We want change. And Father, I just ask, Lord God, that you would speak to the hearts of the politicians in Washington, D.C. to understand that the people they're supposed to be representing are not happy with what's going on and what's happening. And Father, I just pray over the truckers. I pray over all those involved, Lord God, that you would give them grace, Lord God, that you'd give them protection. And Lord, we pray that this would become a turnaround instead of a conflict. Lord, we just believe today. We pray for our nation. We pray for Canada. We pray for the nations around the world where people are saying, we've had enough of your oppression. And Father, we just thank you for that. And Lord, we pray that we can come to a peaceful agreement on this thing in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that, Father. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Amen. I hope you didn't come today to leave. I've had a lot of people over the years call me, you know, want to know what time we get out of church to see if they want to come or not. Amen. Don't come to leave. Amen. we might not be out by noon. I can't guarantee anything. And praise God, I've thought about setting up a food truck out on the parking lot for those that need it. Thankfully, we're out of the reach of pizza delivery. Nobody delivers out here, so we being in the presence of God like we have this morning, the precious, awesome presence of God, and wanting to know what time we're going to get out is kind of like wanting to buy a Bugatti, $300,000 vehicle, and then saying, what kind of gas mileage does it get? If you're worried about that, you don't need to be buying a Bugatti. Amen. This is precious. We get to spend, we have a privilege of spending time in his presence. Amen. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and all had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who would be saved, who were being saved. That's how what we have today, that was the beginning. That's how we began. And when you read over this, you understand that there was a spiritual impartation that gave them the ability to do this. You can't do it without it. This scripture is actually where the word communism came from. All communists have their basis in the teaching of this verse, because they had all things in common. And so when you look at communism, you see somebody trying to recreate a spiritual happening through natural terms, which only causes conflict and destruction. Because you can't rule out human nature in a situation like that. Human nature will always, there will always be those who want to take everything and lord over everybody else. That's why we battle this thing so much. That's why socialism doesn't work. Because you're always got the people that want to take and lord over everybody else. And then in those type of sittings, you have what is called the black market. So you can never have true socialism or communism, because there's always those entrepreneurs that learn how to, behind the scenes, make money. I've participated in it. I've been in countries where to get gasoline for our vehicle, we had to meet in back alleys and siphon gas out of 55-gallon drums that had been snuck in. Put in a container in the back of our vehicle and carry that around with us. We had this big, huge gas tank off some vehicle in the back of our little Russian station wagon in a communist country. And that's how we made it, because you only could buy a certain amount of gas. Well, we used up that gas the first week, and it was rationed. And so we had to buy more gas. And so we bought gas, put it in this tank in the back of our little station wagon that we traveled all over the country and preaching the gospel. And when we'd get low on gas, we would take a hose and siphon it out of the tank in the back of the car and put it in the tank in the car. And that's how we made it. That's how we bought food. We had to go behind the scenes and purchase food because they were in a communist situation where everything was rationed and you could only have so much. And so they got, in this particular country, they got one chicken every 2 weeks per family for meat. All the people that saying, give me some of that, have never lived it. Amen. Capitalism has a lot of flaws, but I would whole lot rather be able to try to make it myself than have somebody tell me, this is your little piece, that's all you can have. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I've been there, I've lived it, I've seen it. Most people that advocate for it never have. I'll never forget one time we bought a pig off the black market and had a pig roast for this small town. When we brought that thing out, you would have thought that those people had won the lottery. They were dancing and singing and celebrating all because of that roasted pig. And they were so excited about it because they just didn't get stuff like that. And this one little boy, I'll never forget this little boy come running through, and that pig's ears was sticking up like that, and they were just charcoal black. And this little boy come running through there fast he could as they was carrying it in. He jumped, grabbed the ear of that pig, broke it off, and kept on running. As he's running, he's chomping on that ear. You can't take a spiritual act and reproduce it carnally and expect it to work. Amen. Now, we all get real excited about that when we talk about government things or financial things, but I got to tell you something. The church is battling the same thing. We have got to return to the roots of our Christianity where the Holy Spirit is manifesting what God does and not trying to reproduce it by carnal acts of spiritual heroism. One of the biggest ways for us to really make a blunder is trying to carnally create something through spirit and try to make Holy Spirit bless what we're doing. And that's what we've gotten into in the last several years. Amen. The church has become a place where we gather and say, God, this is how we're doing it. Now you bless it. No. We gather and say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? What do you want? And we enter into that because that is blessed already. Amen. Praise God. All right. I just wanted to stir things up, knock some chips off some shoulders, and just get it over with right off the bat. Amen. Praise God. So we can get on with the preaching. Oh, man. I don't do good at walking on eggshells, so I just go out and stomp them real good and get it over with. He said that they continued steadfast in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. When you look at the atmosphere, you realize that this was not a normal activity for people and that at any time things could go wrong, and they did at different times. And over the years, several years later, 1700 years later, we see a church that is absolutely in disarray and no longer even comes close to representing what Jesus started. The very church that Jesus started, that was persecuted by the Pharisees, that was killed because of the gospel, 1,500 years later, is killing people that believe in the gospel. Amen. How can that happen? We talked last week about Martin Luther and how the conversion that he had and what caused him to give his life and be so relieved. He was so terrified of the righteousness of God that he repented all the time. He did everything he could to try to get relief from the guilt of missing the righteousness of God, until he found in the Word of God where it said that the righteous shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Righteousness is a God act, not a human act. We receive the righteousness of Christ. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. We receive the gift of salvation. And several years later, when Martin Luther began to see this, that there started this movement that ended up being called the Protestant movement, which simply means protest. And I just want to stop right here for a minute and say that the protest attitude has continued in the church ever since. And it's not a good thing. Sometimes we have to stand against something, but if we're not careful in standing against something, we become what we're standing against on the other side of the argument. Amen. That's what I tell people all the time. Be careful about making enemies or getting to where you just absolutely can't stand somebody, because in that process, what you focus on is what you become. So if you focus on somebody that you dislike, you will end up acting just like them with a different argument. So that Protestant attitude, that protest attitude, has permeated the church, and we've had a hard time getting away from that, because everything that's done in the body of Christ since then has been a protest against something else. Every new wave of God ends up being a protest against the last wave of God, the last revival, the last move of the Spirit of God. We see how the moves of God have built one on top of another, trying to bring us back to a relationship with God that is pure and holy. And we see every time throughout history that the new awakening or the new revelation of the Word of God and the old begins to fight each other, and the new begins to be a protest against the old, and the old protests against the new. And that's how the church has grown and developed ever since Martin Luther. And I just want to say that the Holy Spirit wants to put a stop to this stuff, where we can grow in the presence of God without having to fight everybody we disagree with. Amen. One of the hardest things there is to get Christian people together for very long without relationships becoming issue-based. Hey, I'm meddling today. I know I am. And the devil is a master at handing out issues. He's always looking for an issue to start poking so that you'll rise up against somebody and feel righteous about it. Hey, come on, somebody. I can't tell you how many times I've had people rise up in the church and just cause all kinds of mayhem and havoc and tell me I'm on God's business. I'm doing God's business. And they're hurting and destroying people, but they're on God's business. Why? Because they feel like they are. because the devil is a master at handing out issues and trying to get issues to rise higher than our relationship. Amen. Praise God. I often tell congregations, the quieter you get, the harder I preach. So if you don't want to go there, get to amen and amen. We are in a time now where the church is transitioning into a anointing for this last day. I've been talking about this for a while, and I'm going to keep talking about it. God showed me a vision not too long ago about the anointing and the garments that's being passed out, the mantles that are being passed out to believers all over. And it is the anointing for the finisher's anointing. That's what he told me. He said, this is a finisher anointing. The early church had an anointing to get this thing started. We have an anointing to wrap this thing up. Amen. Jesus is coming back after a bride that is spotless and holy and glorious. Amen. Not beat down, wore out, and wishing we could somehow get out of here. No, he is coming back after a glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. And Holy Spirit has given us the anointing to bring this thing to a close and finish up. I don't know how many years it's going to be, but I know he is doing it right now. He's handing out mantles and anointings that is going to be right for this time, this day, for what we're facing right now. I'm telling you that there are going to be things happening in the days ahead in people's lives, and we're going to see the manifestation in God in such a way that Peter, James, and John, instead of us saying, oh, I wish I could have lived in the days of the early church, Peter, James, and John are going to be saying, I wish I could have been there when that thing wrapped up. Amen. Because the crescendo is about to sound, and we're about to see the glory and the manifestation of God like never before. I am not an end time preacher that glorifies the Antichrist and the beast system. I'm an end time preacher that glorifies Jesus Christ and the body of Christ and the church. Growing up, I heard constant preaching on Daniel and Revelation, and every bit of it was how powerful the Antichrist and the beast system was going to be and all that kind of stuff. And I lived in dread and in fear of the day that I was born into. But I tell you, I've had a transformation in my spirit. And that transformation is I finally got a hold of the truth of the living God. And that is, he never abandons us. He never leaves us. He's here, and he's going to lead us right on through. Amen. Hallelujah. We're not going to be left to the power of the Antichrist. I began to realize in the book of Revelations that God, I'm going to sing soprano here in a minute. God tells them how long they can stay and what they can do. He has a limit on them. They're on a leash. They don't just run rampant, run wild, and do whatever they want. They have times, they have an operation, they have a purpose, but the Lord God Almighty still reigns. Jesus is still on the throne. The Holy Spirit is still on this earth, and we will be a glorious church. Amen. I had a man come to me one day and say, I tell you, Pastor, the Holy Spirit's just not strong in this day as it used to be. Oh, my goodness, I got fighting mad. I'm not a good little pious preacher that just pats you on the head about stuff like that. I get mad. Don't you talk about my God like that. Don't you talk about Holy Spirit like Holy Spirit's my best friend. Holy Spirit is a, he walks with me every day. He never leave me nor forsake me. He's not going to be abandon me and leave me. He's going to be with me through every part and every point. And he is not getting weaker. If anything, he's getting more powerful. Hallelujah. Because we are in that day. We are in the culmination of the church age. And we get to finish this thing. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you in on a little secret right now. Politicians and dictators all over the world are trembling because they sense something. You know what they're sensing? They're sensing a church coming back to life. They're sensing that there's a revival that's coming to this world. Every time they try to shut it down, we just grow. Hallelujah. In Martin Luther's day, there was so much corruption. Oh my, it's awful. To recently protested. He protested because Pope Leo X, I think it was a very ungodly man, carnal. He said, well, we've been given this papacy or whatever you call it. We might as well enjoy it. And so he began to throw lavish parties. He began to live an extravagant lifestyle at the expense of the peasants. And then he started selling the archbishopric. And in order to get a position as an archbishop, you had to pay a certain amount of money, and it was very expensive. And a guy by the name of Prince Albert, you might know him because he's on tobacco cans, I'm sorry, I don't know where this stuff comes from. Guy by the name of Prince Albert, he was very ambitious, and he already had some positions, and it was against the Catholic Church belief of that day for anybody to serve in more than one spot, but they began to turn a blind eye to it and just let it happen because it was for sale. And so this Prince Albert decided he wanted to be there's an opening come for an archbishop in a place called Mainz, and he wanted to be the archbishop, so he borrowed money in order to buy this position. And so after he bought that position, he was deep in debt. And the Pope had spent most of the money on a very extravagant lifestyle, but they wanted to build the St. Peter's Basilica. And instead of using the money that they are already raising, they come up with a grand idea. Prince Albert and the Pope figured out a way to raise money, to build a basilica, and to pay off Prince Albert's debts. And so they started selling indulgences. Indulgences in that day was, they come up with this plan that they would tell people that if you pay us so much money, we'll give you this certificate that guarantees you that you won't have to suffer in purgatory. So no matter what you do, as long as you have this certificate, you won't have to go to purgatory. And if you pay enough money, we can get your loved ones out of purgatory. See what I'm talking about? 1,500 years, the church went from, and great signs and wonders were done at the hands of the apostles, and they had all things common, and great fear came upon them, to if you pay us enough, we'll give you this piece of paper and it'll keep you out of purgatory. And Martin Luther when that began to happen, it was like the final straw, and he rose up against it. And really, he did not, as I said last week, he did not intend on starting a reformation or a protest. He just had questions that needed to be answered, which became a protest because it wasn't well received. The guy that was put in charge of selling these indulgences was named Tetzel. And he came up with a little saying that helped people buy these things. And it said, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory into heaven springs. Now we've gone from, if you believe, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. To, if you'll pay us enough money, we'll give you the certificate and it'll keep you out of purgatory. And we can even get your loved ones out of purgatory. And purgatory was a place where they believed that you had to go and suffer for sins, even the ones you'd repented of. But you had to suffer for a time before you could be released into heaven. And wow. See, I started this off by saying when God does something spiritual and we try to reproduce it in the carnal, it always becomes a mess. Amen. Every time the body of Christ starts becoming carnal, money begins to... Come on, somebody. Yeah, I'm that kind of preacher. Because we have the God of Mammon, and we have the God, Lord God, Jehovah. And Jesus said you can't serve both. Amen. I've actually been in services in this day where I've heard preachers not come right out and say it, but refer to the fact that whether you can get healed is tied to how much you give in the offering. Come on, somebody. Yeah, we're getting down in the nitty-gritty. If we're going to have a revival, if we're going to be the glorious church, we're going to have to go back and make the main thing again. Amen. When you're doing what's right, the church doesn't have any problems. When we're in revival, when we're doing what God says, money will flow like a river to whatever need there is. Why? Because we're no longer bound to the God of Mammon. If giving irks you, you worship the God of Mammon. Amen. Whoa, that's good preaching, Pastor. If you're a giver, you love to give. When I eat in a restaurant, the bottom amount that I leave for a tip is 20%. I won't leave any less than that. Why? Because I love to give. Amen. I like to see people, I like to make people's day. I got on some toes. Wow. Oh, bless God. If they don't serve me just right, I ain't leaving them any tip. Well, you just need to quit eating out. You need to go home and fix your own meals. Amen. Some little waitress or waiter running themselves to death, trying to serve people that have no gratitude whatsoever for what they got, complaining about everything. You didn't have my glass filled up just right. This didn't happen right. That didn't happen right. And if you don't do just right, I'm not going to leave you a tip. Bunch of hateful people. Amen. Now, I'm just going to say this right now. Sunday afternoon is when wait staff hate working. Why? Because all the Christians get out of church and go to eat. And we can be the most picky, complaining, irritating group of people there is. When that waiter or waitress comes up to your table and you're having a good time talking, stop. Let them do their job. Amen. Help them out. Help them get the food on the table. And when you get finished, stack your dishes. Amen. It should not be that people dread Christians coming to their place of business. They should get up on Sunday morning and say, "Oh, it's Sunday. The Christians are coming to the restaurant today." Woo! Amen. See, we got to get back to the main thing being the main thing. And Holy Spirit needs to be in charge of our lives. It needs to manifest in our lives. Amen. So they got to this place. Carnality enveloped the church, totally took over. And it didn't even resemble what it was 1,700 years earlier. And now everything's about money, everything's about positions, everything's about property. Did I just read the newspaper or was I reading from 1700? But no matter how dark it got, no matter how bad it got, the Word of God somehow kept piercing the darkness and penetrating the hearts of people. Like John Haas, who suddenly got a revelation. He was a Catholic priest and he got a revelation. And he started saying, "Hey, we're off track." And he said, he began to try to take the church back to the behavior of the early church. Began to try to restore the attitude, behavior, the beliefs of the early church, and they burn him at the stake for it. The church that was born under the persecution of the Pharisees ended up being the Pharisees persecuting the believers. You say, how can that happen? Turn with me to the book of Romans. Chapter 8. Verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in, I'm going to sing this thing here in a minute. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's death. That's what leads us away from the things of God every time, is when we begin to make decisions and allow a carnal mind to start leading and guiding our life, guiding our churches. But we have to go back and realize that it is the mind of the Spirit that sets us free, that gives us life, that causes us to be blessed. And we today are in the process of going back to the very beginning of where we started and saying, God, we want your presence. We want your Spirit, and we're not going to allow anything less. Amen. I can't even get into the Moravians today. You know, all my life, I have preached, I have studied, I have read history. And only in the last year, I've begun to hear about this group called the Moravians. How I missed that, I'll never know. Brother Chuck sent me a text message the other day and said, I'm praying for a Zinzendorf. I text him back and I said, I'm about to sound really ignorant. What is a Zinzendorf? Somehow, I was never around anybody that talked about that. And as I began to read about the Moravians and began to study what they believed and how they conducted themselves, I began to get excited. Because I began to say, wow. Without even knowing about this, God has been directing us on the same path. To bring us back to a place where everything we believe, everything we do is about love, faith, honor, hope. When we do that, then God begins to move. See, all of our debating about theology will not cause a revival. All of our arguing about differences will not cause a revival, a move of God. But when you prepare the atmosphere in the right character, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit begins to move freely. Why? Because that's what he has to have. He has to have that culture. He has to have that atmosphere where we love, honor, and respect one another. See, every time the church begins to move back into that carnal mind, Holy Spirit starts stirring people's hearts. And we start having this hope raise up inside of us. And we begin to believe again. We begin to anticipate again. We begin to see again. Revival after revival after revival. Whether it's the Pentecostal church, Lutheran church, the charismatic churches, it doesn't matter what your brand is. All of us, without the leadership of Holy Spirit, will always go back into a carnal mind and end up not even looking like what we started in. The charismatic renewal in the 70s happened simply because people started praying and reading the Bible for themselves. Amen. There's nothing like the Word of God beginning to burn in your spirit. When the Word of God starts burning in your spirit, all of a sudden, hope, faith, love begins to burn inside of you. And you start saying, God, you're the same today as you was then. Oh, come on, somebody. You're not going to leave us out. Praise God. You're not going to leave us out. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say this. God wants us to become one with heaven so bad he can't already stand it. He desires such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we move back into that culture that he desires, we move back into that atmosphere that he desires, everything that heaven has is ours because we are one with him. As Brother Tom so eloquently said today, Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the price to give us access into the Holy of Holies. We can come boldly into the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We've got to stop arguing over things that are not important. One of the things I've been studying, my brain is about mush because once I get a hold of something, I dive off the high dive into it, and I want to find out everything about it. And I found out the Moravians, they moved into a little settlement, and I'm just going to go through this real fast. They moved into a little settlement on Zinzendorf's property to escape persecution. And then others from other beliefs, the Anabaptists and I think Calvinist, or there was different beliefs that began to come. Lutherans all began to come because it was a safe place from persecution. Well, as most things like that go, when they begin to do life together, they started arguing about their beliefs. And so they begin to draw lines, you know, and separate. And division began to come to this little community. Isn't it amazing how the carnal mind always brings death? But the spiritual mind brings life. Zinzendorf heard. He was a very powerful man in politics and very wealthy. And he heard about the division and the dissension. And he came down and began to set things in order. And begin to get them to agree on things. And we are at that day today where we've got to stop relating on the things we disagree about and start relating on the things we agree about. The anti-atmosphere of the church has got to go. Amen. Every new move and every new church that has started today is started because they are anti-something. They're against somebody. They're a split off another church. Matter of fact, in America today, close to 100% of all church plants in America today is a church split instead of evangelism. Almost 100%. Why? Because we major on the minors. Amen. I have a tendency to do that. You have a tendency to do that. Amen. We critique one another. Amen. Matter of fact, since I've been up here preaching, what I have on has been critiqued. There's some of you would rather me have ripped jeans on or skinny jeans. You would never be able to unsee that. True story, I actually read about a worship leader that wore these real tight skinny jeans in a church in California. Of course, it's California. In a church in California. And the material was such that while he was up there, he got a little hot and sweaty and couldn't get them off. They had to call 911 because the worship leader couldn't get the material off of his body. You could never unsee that. Some of you have been thinking, you know, I kind of like a pastor that wears a suit and tie. this looks better. Yeah, this neck is not conducive to ties. I tried wearing them for years. I choked to death, and finally I said, that's it. Amen. Amen. I'm just making fun of it because that's how we do. Amen. We critique. Amen. I've had women in the church over the years come up and tell me how I was supposed to wear my hair as a preacher. When I was younger, I parted my hair right down the middle. It was 70s, feathered back on both sides. I mean, come on, somebody. Y'all did it too. Back when you had hair. And after church one day, I had this lady just come stomping right up to me. I mean, you know, and said, Pastor, if you want to be a pastor, if you want to be respected, you have to stop parting your hair in the middle. I said, really? Ain't that something? Amen. So you know what I did? For years, I just cut it all off and wore a flat top. And it's like, okay, we'll just. And then I had to stop wearing a flat top because people told me I looked too mean. Which I did. In other countries, they would think I was a mercenary. And I was stopped at the border going into Mexico to preach. And the guy said, what are you going to Mexico for? I said, well, I'm a preacher. I'm going down there to hold some meetings, a tent revival. He said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. He said, no, you're not. I said, I've been a pastor for years. He said, listen, son, he said, I know people, and you're not a preacher. You're not no preacher. I said, why ain't I a preacher? He said, you don't look like a preacher. I said, well, I am. Amen. I got a picture in my office standing in the middle of a bunch of rebels in the mountains of the Philippines holding a machine gun. Flat top, my kind of missionary work. But I'm saying that because I want us to understand how that we get so sidetracked by things like this and we miss what God's doing. We miss what God's saying. We miss what's being poured out. When Pentecost first started being poured out, when the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, began to be renewed in America, it got to the place where they fought so much that the saying was, every believer is a splinter of a splinter. Why? Because they fought about their indifferences so much, they forgot about what started it, and that was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, some of y'all think, boy, you're preaching really good a while ago, Pastor. What happened? The Moravians, the way that they had the revival they had a prayer meeting, 24-hour, 24-7 prayer meeting that lasted over 100 years. And the way that started and the way that continued is they categorized what was important. They had this group on the bottom called the Incidentals. And that's all the stuff I just got through talking about. The next group was the ministerials. And it was a little more important. And then the top group was the things that was most important. And that was everything that only God could do. And that's what they focused on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is what only God could do. Stand with me today.
Thank you, Jesus.
I don't know about you, but I've been preaching the gospel for soon to be 43 years. I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of things happen. I've been through so many cycles. I've watched the ebb and flow. I've watched the rise and fall. I've been through all that stuff. The only thing I desire today is for His presence to be the most powerful thing in our lives. That the Word of God is set on fire in our hearts. But we have to lay down our animosity. We have to lay down our indifferences. We have to come together as the body of Christ and begin to realize every one of us have strengths and every one of us have weaknesses. Every one of us have gifts in different parts, in different ways. And we respect and appreciate that instead of fighting against it. Father, thank you for this group of people. Matter of fact, Lord God, I'm going to enlarge that. I'm just going to say thank you for the body of Christ today. All over this country that is starting to drop the rocks. And starting to raise their hands in praise and worship to you. Father, I thank you for the awakening that has taken place right now in this nation and around the world. There is a civil awakening and there is a spiritual awakening. God, help us. Help us to put our full force behind the spiritual awakening that has taken place. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, I want us just to take a couple of minutes. Sister Val, go ahead and sing. I want us to take a couple of minutes while she worships, while they worship, and just ask ourselves, what are the insignificant things that are dominating my life right now? What attitudes? What divisions? What things are dominating my life right now that is holding me back?